Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
There is a fairly common saying in our day that you may or may not have heard, which says, all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth, which on the surface, of course, is certainly and emphatically true. But unfortunately, the way which that statement is sometimes used, I'm afraid, corrupts the very truth of the statement because it is often used as a ploy to ignore or contradict the plain teaching of the Bible. The idea is that since all truth is God's truth, and since there's truth in this universe that is not specifically mentioned in the Bible, and that man has the capability to discover truth in nature outside the Word of God, and since all truth is God's truth, our discoveries of truth outside the Bible are just as legitimate as those things which are explicitly contained in Scripture. Now, although it is true that all truth is God's truth, and it is also true that truth exists in creation outside of the Bible, it is furthermore true that because man is corrupted by the fall, the only way men are able to discern what is true and what is false in the realm of natural revelation is by using the infallible, divinely given revelation called the Bible. Do you see what is deceitful about that statement, all truth is God's truth? The statement is true. But the fact of the matter is that there is not only truth outside of the Bible, but there's also error outside of the Bible. The Bible is the only thing in our world which is entirely true. The Bible is true, completely and fully, without error. What we find outside the Bible, in nature, of course, in itself is neutral, but our observations and interpretations of what we find in nature may be true, may be false, because man is not an infallible creature. Man's mind has been corrupted by sin. And therefore, just because somebody says something is true does not mean that it is necessarily true. All truth is God's truth, we are told. And we have discovered this truth in nature. And therefore, this truth is just as true as Bible truth. Oh, no. No. And we know that's not true because how many things that men have told us were absolutely true, discovered in nature, printed in textbooks, found in science textbooks, are now considered to be false? What happened? Is that which was God's truth 10 years ago, now, no longer God's truth? Is it now an error, and it was true? Well, obviously, it was an error 10 years ago. Men thought it was true, but it was not true. And further discoveries and testing upon that particular declaration of truth proved in the passing of time that it was wrong, it was false. And so, yes, all truth is God's truth, but the Bible is the only infallible guide for what is true and what is false. Man is not an infallible guide because he's a fallen sinner. Other textbooks, other books are not infallible guides because they are written by men and they all contain some errors. only the Bible is without error, because only the Bible is inspired by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And anything that is breathed out by God Himself is without error, because God is holy, God is righteous, God is true. Let God be true. Let God be understood to be true and considered to be true and declared to be true. And every man a liar, that is, any time something man says something that contradicts the Word of God, we can just mark it down. The Bible's true, man is wrong. If man disagrees with the Bible, then you can be sure the Bible is true because God is true, and man is wrong because anytime man contradicts a statement of God, then man turns out to be in error. Man turns out to be a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now we have yet another example of what Paul has been showing us in Romans chapter 7, namely that sin is so corrupt that it will use what is holy, just, and good to deceive and destroy. And let me read Romans chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. We read in verse 12, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." That obviously is a concluding statement based upon what Paul has said previously in Romans chapter 7 and based upon what we have already studied on the Beacon broadcast previous to today. And we come to this conclusion, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, just, and good." Nothing wrong with the law of God. No error in the law of God. No sin in the law of God, even though, as Paul has already shown us, sinful hearts of men use the law of God sinfully. And they use it to deceive, and they use it to make sin more sinful. Man can take even the holy law of God and corrupt it into sinful thoughts and actions and desires. But does that mean that there's anything wrong with the law of God? No. "Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good." Now, verse 13, "Has then what is good become death to me?" asks Paul. "Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." And so in Romans 7, 1 through 13, we have Paul's defense of God's law. He has shown us that sin uses the very law of God to arouse sinful desires and actions and to minister death. If the law is used this way, doesn't that make the law itself sinful? No, absolutely not, says Paul. There's nothing wrong with God's law, but there is very much wrong with man's nature, which is so thoroughly corrupted by sin that it will use the most holy things of God for its own corrupt purposes. And so we see in Romans 7, 12, and 13 how sin corrupts that which is good, and how a sovereign God allows, utilizes, and overrules evil activities for eternal good. And that needs to be understood. Now back to verse 12, we see the righteous character of the law. "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." And this is the conclusion to the first question. The first question was, what shall we say? Is the law sin? The question posed in verse 7. And Paul answers it now, the final answer, really. He's been answering it all along, but the answer now is no. "Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." And that's the ultimate answer to the question, is the law sin or sinful? And that actually turns out to be a bit of a surprising answer, given the tone of what Paul said in verses 7 through 11, which we'll not go back to rediscuss. But that is the answer. And it is the answer we would have expected given the source of the law, namely that it comes from God. How could anything that comes from God be anything but holy and just and good? And so the true nature of the law is here emphatically declared. What law are we talking about? What law is Paul talking about? Evidently, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. Though the same thing could be said for the rest of Scripture, for any law, for anything that fits into the category of a law or commandment of God that's contained anywhere in the Scripture, all of it is holy, all of it is just, all of it is good. What is the law? It is holy, just, and good. In other words, it is perfect because it reflects the perfect character of God. And what is the character of God? It is holy, just, and good. Therefore, the law of God, like the character of God, like the God who spoke the law of God is going to be holy, just, and good because the God who gave it is holy, just, and good. Holy means that he is separate, set apart. God is separate from his creation. He is transcendent, and he is separate, therefore, from all that is sinful and evil in creation. And the law, therefore, is the same. It is the opposite of sin. It is the opposite of that which is sinful, because it conforms perfectly to the character of God. The law is not only holy, but it is also just, that is, righteous. It is fair, it is reasonable, it is equitable, it is right. It cannot be charged with any wrong. That is, it cannot be correctly charged with any wrong. Sinful men with sinful hearts will sometimes charge the law of God with being wrong, or containing wrong, or having unjust statements or purposes or ends or goals, but you can be assured, dear friend, that that is not so. The law of God is holy, just, and good. And if it is just, it is reasonable in its demands. It is perfectly right and reasonable in its requirements and in its effects. For it is the law of God, and it is holy like God is holy, and it is just like God is just, and it is good, just like God is good. Good in the sense, I think, of being beneficent. That is, the law has our welfare in view. It is good. It promotes man's highest well-being. It is designed to bring good. It is designed to bring welfare, well-being. It is designed to bring true happiness because it is good, just like God is good. God is beneficent. God is kind. And the law of God reflects the character of God and is therefore good and designed for good and brings man good when man's sinful heart does not corrupt the law of God and instead turn it into something which is evil, which brings death and condemnation, which brings blight and difficulties, even though the nature of the law itself is just the opposite of that. And so we are reminded once again that spiritual realities are not always what they seem. To fallen Adam, they are never what they at first seem. And we are all members of Adam's fallen race. And therefore, we can look at something and make a conclusion about it, which is entirely wrong. In fact, most of the time, our conclusions will be wrong until they are corrected by the holy word of God, which is always holy, just, and good. Only in the new birth are we given a capacity to see spiritual truth as it really is, and then not perfectly until we get to heaven. Because we'll have to be entirely sanctified to be able to always think right thoughts and to always evaluate everything perfectly. And so until then, we must rely upon the Word of God to show us what is true and what is false. May God help us to study His Word carefully. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.